And that's some of the things that I think about too. And sometimes it leads to overthinking, and it leads to the anxiety of overwhelming choices and thinking about all the possible outcomes. I mean, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do when things go wrong? And you're trying to be the best at everything. And when you try to be the best at something, from my experience, you think that you have to have control over everything that happens. You feel that if you're not in control, you can't be the best. And what I've come to learn by talking with mentors and other entrepreneurs is that control is a funny thing because it's really an illusion. And the best kind of control is letting go.
You're listening to The Isaac Velez Show, a podcast that inspires high performers to reach new heights and be better than their best. My name is Isaac, and I'm best known for my performance coaching, elevating elite athletes and entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. On this podcast, I sit down and share vulnerable stories on my journey, lessons that I've learned, and I bring on high performers as guests to unlock new insights and share authentic conversations about what winning really looks like. Let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode on the Isaac Velez Show. It has been a minute since I have recorded. We are, as you can see, in a modified setup, just more comfortable, easier to record. And it's a great way of getting started with today's episode, because today we're talking about how the best get better. Now, when you want to compete at the top level in any area, whether it's business, whether it's a sport like basketball, soccer, football, or whether it's a personal matter, being the best means beating everybody else, but it also means doing the things that 99% of other people won't do. It means going that extra step. It means continuing to push even when you're tired. And so the thing that I think about a lot is, well, if I want to be the best, what am I willing to sacrifice in order to be that guy that can do the things that he wants to do? See, relentless entrepreneurs, what they pursue isn't just the best business, but also the best kind of life. And that's what I love. It's the ability of pursuing a better relationship with your partner, of being a great father to your kids or great mother to your children. It's being the best at everything that you choose to do. But we always have to remember, we can do anything, but we can't do everything. Our time, our focus, all these things are finite. And unfortunately, we can't go out and maximize our life in every area because we don't have the time nor the ability to do so. And that's where the intentionality comes in. The best are intentional at what they choose to do. They're intentional at where they place their time because they know they can't be the best at everything. You don't see world-class athletes playing five different sports to diversify. They go in at one sport and they're the best at that one sport, because they know that to be the best, it requires all their dedication and all their focus. And so to start today, how do we as individuals continue to improve? And that's the rule of improve 1% every day. Just 1%. You ask yourself the question before you go to sleep today, did I improve at least 1%? Did I get at least a little bit better? And if you ask yourself the question daily, if every day you're asking that question and every day you're improving, think about what happens in a year. Think of what happens in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I mean, what are time horizons? Am I playing the game of a year? Am I playing the game of 2 weeks? Am I playing the game of 20 years? We talk a lot about working hard. We talk a lot about outworking your competition, even outthinking your competition. How many of us can outlast the competition? What do you do right now? How much time do you spend on your pursuits, in your relationships, on your career or your business? That's the kind of question that'll let you ask, okay, well, you do all this now, but can you actually sustain that for a long period of time? Can you continue to push even when it's hard, even when you're tired? What happens if life throws a curveball? We think about Murphy's Law, what can go wrong will go wrong. What do you do when the situation changes? Are you ready to adapt? And that's some of the things that I think about too. And sometimes it leads to overthinking, and it leads to the anxiety of overwhelming choices and thinking about all the possible outcomes. I mean, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do when things go wrong? And you're trying to be the best at everything. And when you try to be the best at something, from my experience, you think that you have to have control over everything that happens. You feel that if you're not in control, you can't be the best. And what I've come to learn by talking with mentors and other entrepreneurs is that control is a funny thing, because it's really an illusion. And the best kind of control is letting go. The best kind of control is letting go and surrendering to the current. Because like any good fighter that you'll see in the old movies, especially in Eastern movies, they're not the biggest guy. They just know how to use the strength of their opponent against them. They know how to use and adapt the environment to their advantage. And that's business too. If we're unwilling to adapt, if we're unwilling to innovate and to change, and we stick with what worked isn't the thing that continues to work. Which is why we see big companies that we never in a million years would think would go out of business vanish, gone, and they're not what they used to be if they're still around at all. And so we talk about the small change, but the thing that I do here, right? I have my journal out here. What do I do here? Well, I sit here and I write what I'm thinking about, because what the best do is they reflect. They reflect on where they are, they reflect on where they've been, and they reflect on where they're going. Because without direction, without clarity on where you want to go, we go back to the Seneca quote, "No wind is favorable to the man who does not know which port he sails to." When you open up your phone, for example, you go to the Maps app, it asks for two things: your starting point, Where are you starting from, and your destination. If you don't have a starting point, you can't get a roadmap to your destination. And if you don't have a destination and just a starting point, well, you have nowhere to go, because the GPS isn't going to tell you anything. So if we know where we are and we know where we want to go, we need to constantly reflect and ask ourselves the hard questions of, are we doing the things that need to get done? Are we able to push even when it's hard? What kind of support networks and connections and friends are we building along this path? We ask ourselves the questions about the what and the how and the why, as well as the who. These are the important things of, you're building strong relationships and networks with yourself and with others on this path. And you reflect on, what are your thoughts at? Where are your feelings at? Where are your actions at? Because the numbers, they tell the story, they always do. And so we have to ask ourselves, okay, what am I identifying? What trends and patterns have I been engaging in my life that A, are getting me closer to the goal, or B, are taking me further away? Because like it or not, the only way to measure progress is to know where we start and know where we're ending. And it's okay to say, man, I'm far from my destination. It's okay to say, man, I wish I wasn't starting here. But we have to lose the ego if we want to still have a chance at getting a better future. And that's the key. It's bigger than us. The change, the mission, the impact, it's all bigger than us. So if we let our egos control us now, we become a slave to our own ambitions. We'll never do the thing that we say and believe we want to do because of our own selfish reasons of getting in our own way just to say that we were right. Now, speaking of the ego, let's talk about how do we tamper that down real quick with another thing that the best typically do, and that is they surround themselves with people who are better than them. Now, you might be thinking, how can someone be better than the best? Everyone's looking to be the best, and people can be the best in many different areas of life, but winners surround themselves with winners. And so in your life, are you in a period of isolation? Do you have a strong network of friends that you can count on? Do you like to engage with people regularly? I mean, like, what is the social interaction that we have with other people? And regardless if it's business oriented or not, we do know that from various studies, including one of the longest studies ever done at Harvard University, that happiness and the biggest contributing factor is relationships, high quality, long lasting relationships with other people. Most of the regrets of people with a net worth of 7, 8, 9 or more figures is not spending more time with their family. And family is one of the core relationships. So if we know this to be true and we don't act upon it, that does make us fools. And I know that I am guilty of not putting my relationships first. And sometimes there's moments where, as an entrepreneur, you have to sacrifice a bit of your relationships. Because that push, that moment of isolation, of deep and focused work, is maybe what you need to get your business to the next level, and then you can go back to the relationships. So that's where we get into the point of not lying to yourself and being honest about what are you prioritizing in life. And there will be times where you're out of balance, where you have to put more emphasis on your business. But when it returns to baseline, you really have to ask yourself, how much time are you spending with those that you love? But outside the family, what kind of people do you have in your life? Maybe you're the visionary entrepreneur, the creative type who imagines a better world, a product that could change the lives and solve many problems. But you don't know the technical aspects. You don't know the finances. You're not good at math. Knowing people that are accountants, people that are CFOs at companies, that work with numbers and projections, maybe analysts, someone that's a CTO, right? A chief technical officer, people that know their stuff, a software engineer, computer scientist, IT people. How many people do you know that help cover your weaknesses? How many people do you know that you could rely on if you're going through a struggle or you need some advice or you just need a friend to be there? How many people do you know that could introduce you to a connection that could potentially drive your business to 10 times the growth? And if it's not where you want it to be, if you're disappointed in your own answer, then you got to ask yourself, what are you going to do to fix that? I've found that asking better questions solves 50% of the problem. See, oftentimes we think we ask the question and we got to find the solution. Sometimes it's not always about the solution. Sometimes it's that the question isn't good enough to solve that problem. Or sometimes the question leads us to the wrong answers, because we're not solving for the thing we're actually trying to solve for. And so sometimes it is kind of better to sit in the question and say, is this question actually going to help me? What do I get out of solving this question? So that's kind of some of the things that you got to think about. It's the things I think about all the time. Like, what kind of questions do I ask myself? What kind of challenges and struggles do I put myself through? See, I was studying this fascinating concept of allostasis. It's a biopsychology concept. And it talks about how we regulate stress. And this idea that as we go through more and more stress and we put ourselves through stress, we have this baseline that we return to. But if we continue to go up and up and up, right, and we obviously dip and recover, we don't return a baseline. And eventually baseline becomes bigger. So sometimes it's, you know, we want this kind of relationship or we want our business to scale to the certain level. But you have to ask yourself, are you capable of handling the additional stress that comes with scale? Do you have the character and the mind prepared to handle all that? And if you don't, that's okay. But the progress to get there is to continue to build your stress, to take on more pressure voluntarily, to build that tolerance level. And so that brings me to the point that I think about quite often, and that's the cutting edge. We all look for our edge. We all look for the edge, right? The advantage. And inherently, we all have certain advantages, things that make us different than most people, things that are more natural, still have to be trained, but they're more natural to us. We tap into our own power source. For some people, they're very good at speaking. They're very good at persuasion. They're very good at galvanizing people and bringing people together. For other people, they might be geniuses. They can conceptualize, they might be chess masters and can think moves in ahead and great at strategy. There's other people that know how to execute. You tell them an idea and they know how to make an actual reality. You have a strength. And there's one in particular that stands out above all others that you have. And that strength, that's your edge. Maybe you already know your edge. Maybe you don't. But even if you do, you got to ask yourself, are you maximizing that edge? Are you tapping into everything that it could be? Or are you leaving something on the table? Because the whole point of having an advantage is to press your advantage, is to do more, is to go for more. And that's why the best are always looking to get better. Thank you all for tuning in. I am excited to continue releasing. We have a lot more interviews coming between now and summer. I hope you all enjoy them as much as I do. And please make sure that if you do, send the guest a message, send me a message letting me know what you love about the episode, as well as what you want to see more of. I will see you all in the next episode of the Isaac Velez Show. Fortune favors the bold.
That concludes today's episode of the Isaac Velez Show. If you gained any value from today, we'd be grateful if you share the episode and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you were looking to get more involved with us, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. See you in the next episode.